The Raven Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEN.
We welcome you here live to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for tuning in alongside Michael Hooker. I'm Dawson Perrell. We hope you all are having a wonderful Monday evening. We got a busy hour planned. We'll be sitting down with both Coach Rogers, the head coach for the Pendleton Heights girls basketball team, as well as Coach Ballard, the head coach for the Pendleton Heights boys basketball squad as well. But starting off here, Michael and I will just break down the last week when it comes to both boys and girls basketball here for the Arabians. So it's nearly February, of course. Then with that comes a sectional season for both boys and girls. Girls will be starting us off. They'll be going up against Greenfield. But looking back for the girls' side of things, they, of course, had senior night about a week ago where it was against North Central. It was a great matchup. We're down to the wire, very high scoring, very entertaining. Didn't get to see it myself, but still very close. And, of course, it was senior night. Whitney Werfel reaching that 1,000-point milestone. Whitney Werfel reaching the 1,000-point milestone. Casey Werfel getting 31 points. So great night for both Werfel sisters. Berkeley Shelton getting yet another double-double. Overall, just a feel-good win on senior night. And then, of course, you got that Noblesville. Didn't go the same way whatsoever. Brutal loss for Pendleton Heights. Lost by 30-plus. But Noblesville, very good squad, of course, one of the best in the state. So I think it was a nice test for them. It got them ready for top-tier competition, which if they want to make a run in the playoffs, they're going to have to go through some of that. But, Michael, how do you think these Lady Ravens perform in those last two games? How do you think they're maybe take those performances, lead them into the sectional games?
Well, I think they'll take that performance against Noblesville, and I think they'll take that with a little bit of anger and hunger going into this first game of the sectional round. I mean, they're playing Greenfield Central, who they had a close game with earlier on in the season, and really it shouldn't have been that close. And I think, you know, them coming off of the Noblesville loss, they'll go into that game hungry, and they'll want to win, and they'll want to get back to that sectional championship and get a sectional championship this year and really make a statement for their case as one of the better teams in 4A and make it possibly to even state this year.
Yeah, and looking on that North Central victory, which is actually exactly a week ago, it was last Monday for Pendleton Heights. Final score of that one, 67-54. And I mentioned there, Casey Werfel, 31 points, but she shot 63% from the field. And, I mean, if you're making 31, if you're getting up to 31 points, but yet shooting above 50%, that's impressive. And Casey Werfel's been doing that all season. Of course, as I mentioned, Berkeley Shelton getting that double-double, 12 points. Looks like 14 boards, season high for Berkeley Shelton when it comes to those rebound numbers. And then Whitney Werfel, of course, 19 points. She's at 30% from the field, so maybe not where she would like. Took quite a bit of shots, though. But it still was enough to reach that 1,000-point milestone. And huge milestone for Whitney Werfel. Congratulations to her. I mean, her name will go in the record books. I mean, very, very select few has done it here. Her sister, Casey Werfel, already passed halfway. I think she's in that 800 range on her career still. 2 years and a couple of games to go. So she'll 100% pass it if things still are going the way it's going now. And again, Arabians, great performance, North Central. Looking more on that Noblesville performance. He got a tough loss, as I mentioned. 30-plus point final score, that one, 78-40. Pendleton Heights taking the loss. Nice game again. Casey Werfel, 12 points. And here, fun fact about Casey Werfel, hasn't had a game under 10 points since January of 2022. That was against Pike, so last season. So it's been well over a year, about 15 days over a year since Casey Werfel has scored under 10 points. And that just tells what a player she is, so consistent when it comes to those scoring numbers. But taking a look, flipping things now for the boys' side of things, they're coming off a loss, they're coming off a win, but before that, Friday, January the 27th, they took a brutal loss against the Greenfield Central Cougars. That was at Greenfield Central. And Greenfield, man, I was doing that game, I was calling it, and they look good. Final score, that one, 76-44. Story of the night for Greenfield got to be, of course, Braylon Mullins. Had 28 points in the first half, was on pace for a record-breaking opening night. Didn't have that hot of a second half, but still got up to 31 final, as well as shooting 80% from the field. If you get 31 points and 80% of the field, that's just straight up impressive. And then for the Arabian side of things, it was a nice night for Josiah Gustin. Got up to 7 points, but I think the big thing about Josiah Gustin in that performance, he really listened to Coach Ballard. Coach was very emphasizing in those pregame interviews that he wanted Josiah Gustin to get going down low and really use his size to an advantage, and he did exactly that. But not only that, he was still as dominant as he is on the jumpers, the fadeaways. He knocked down a three from half court on the buzzer beater at the end of the first half, so decent night for him. But again, Evan Mazingo, another player to mention, 13 points against Greenfield Central, dominated in that one. But that Greenfield Central, don't know if you got to catch it, Ryan, or excuse me, Michael, but just taking a look at those stat lines, how do you think those Arabians performed? How do you think they really carried that loss, maybe fueled them in their win the next day?
Well, I mean, that game really isn't a good representation of this team. You know, they've been playing well all year, and obviously their record doesn't show that they've been playing well, and they've been playing some really tough teams this year, don't get me wrong. I mean, the New Powell was undefeated going into their matchup earlier on in the season. They played a really good Delta squad, which they hung with, and came, when it came down to the last sec, to the last buzzer, Heritage Christian they played well against, Anderson they played well against, forced overtime against them in the county tournament. So really, they played well against these tougher teams, just they can't seem to close it out. And really, I think that was just unlike them for this season. But then in the next game, they bounced back, and they got the win, which was an impressive win, too.
Yeah, and just one more thing to add here before we go on a quick break. But that other game for Pendleton Heights, that was last Saturday. So a quick turnaround. They came back here on their home floor. They faced up against Hamilton Southeastern. Tough squad, of course, in a very tough division. Hamilton Southeastern is having a down year, though. 4-14 after the loss. Pendleton Heights advanced to 5 wins, but great win. Pendleton Heights on their home floor. 42-41 was our final score. Not a buzzer beater, but a game winner for Isaac Wilson. He drove on the left side, put up a layup, laid it in. That just describes Isaac Wilson. He's the quarterback on the football team. He's used to having 1,000 eyes watching him, and he showed that night. Clutch scenario, clutch position, he made it count. But with that being said, we'll take a short break, but when we return, we'll be joined here by Coach Rogers to discuss what he saw in the past week for the Lady Arabians basketball squad here in the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM located at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com. Are you ready?
Let's go. Turn it up.
Have you ever wanted to listen to 91.7 WEEM on your phone but don't have internet connection?
Try out our new app. It's called 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. We are joined here yet again by the head coach of the Pendleton Heights Lady Arabians, Coach Rogers. Thanks for coming down, Coach.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so starting us off here, last Monday you guys squared up against the North Central Panthers for senior night, which resulted in your 8th home win of the season. How do you think your team performed in front of a large crowd on senior night?
Yeah, you know, that was a good win for us. North Central's a good team. They were missing one of their top players due to a suspension. But, you know, once again, their record doesn't show it, but their strength of schedule is incredibly tough. So to be able to, you know, one, to be able to play in this gym to finish out the year was special, dealing with all the issues that we have with the floor. But to be able to get that done, that was good.
Yeah, but taking a closer look at that game, of course, senior Whitney Warfel reaching that 1,000-point mark, put her name in the record books. So what does that milestone really mean to her, and how does it feel? How do you have enjoyed coaching her?
Yeah, you know, that's one of those things. We've looked back. We think that there's been 10 girls that have done that in the past, potentially 11. We're still kind of going back on the record books on that, but you know, anybody that can reach 1,000 points, You know, that's a special moment, and that takes a lot of hard work. That takes a lot of dedication to be able to do that for yourself. But it also takes, you know, a lot of support from your teammates. So, I was glad I was able to share that with her, and, you know, just super proud for her. I'm glad we've got it out of the way, and now we can, you know, just focus full steam ahead on sectional.
All right, and also in that North Central win, you guys only had 14 team turnovers, which was tied for the fifth fewest in a game this season. So what does that say when it comes to this team's chemistry, and how has it grown throughout the year?
Yeah, you know, we're getting better, and especially a team like that that pressured us a lot, you know, trapped us a lot, that's somewhere where we've struggled in the past. You know, we've you know, you look back at LC, you look back at Heritage Christian, Westfield, a lot of those teams that switched and trapped and did a lot of things like that. You know, we're known to kick it over all over the place, all over the gym. So to be able to handle that, and, you know, only have 14 turnovers, I was pretty pleased with that.
All right, and now after that North Central win, you guys traveled in a quick turnaround to Noblesville to face off against the Lady Millers, who are one of the better squads in the state. So what did you take out of that loss against that Noblesville team?
Yeah, you know, we told the girls, you know, moving that one up with the snowstorm, you know, last week, with it being a zero prep, you know, kind of no rest turnaround to play the number two team in the state, we knew it was going to be an uphill battle. We talked and we said, you know, kind of the expectation was like, you know, we're going to go out, we're going to zone them, we're going to try to cover up shooters, and we're going to try to compete. And honestly, that first quarter we did that. You know, I think it was 24-18 at the end of one. You know, you're down 6 points. Felt like you were in a decent spot. But once again, you know, we've got some girls that are banged up from that Connersville game a couple weeks ago, and you know, we tried to keep it as close as we could. You know, I can't – Noblesville is just a phenomenal team. Just you watch them in pregame, you watch them in warm-ups, you watch them during the game, just so precise in everything they do. So, you know, it wasn't super surprising. And when people shoot, you know, 60-plus percent from the three-point line, that's hard to reckon with. So, you know, they're one of the best. You know, it's probably going to come down to them in South Bend, Washington, maybe in the north. And, you know, they'll probably make their way back to Gainbridge Fieldhouse again for the state finals. So I expect Noblesville to do good things, and just know that in the years, you know, the coming years, that's one that we're going to try to make closer and maybe be able to beat those guys one day.
Yeah, and you mentioned there that Noblesville matchup. Guys had them pretty close in that first quarter, but couldn't really keep up with them down the stretch, so putting up only 13 points in the second half. So can you touch a bit on that? What does that really say about your offense and the stamina?
Yeah, you know, they pressed us. You know, they 1-2-2 half-court trapped us and you know, 1-3-1'd us for a really long time. And, you know, we left, you know, Liv Jones and Skyler in to kind of, you know, work on – you know, making passes out of that trap and not feeling, you know, the pressure and the heat from that. But one of those things, you know, that's as we get older and, you know, I'm here more, that's one of those things that will get easier because, you know, that's definitely not a team that just because they, you know, they beat us pretty good, we're not going to run and take them off the schedule. You know, those are teams that we have to get better and, you know that's kind of the measuring stick. So just, you know, a lot to take away from it, but that late in the year, that short of turnaround, it was nothing to sit there and, you know, to beat a dead horse, so to speak. We took it, we moved on, and we started getting ready for Greenfield.
Yeah, and flipping things back over to North Central, I'm sure you'd rather talk about that a bit more. But yeah. Casey Warfel continued her dominance, putting up 31 points while shooting 63% from the field. So how is she really able to pave the way for you guys in that win?
Yeah, you know, she when she's able to do the things that she can do well, you know, when people pressure us, you know, that's something where Casey can excel. She can gash people if they're going to pressure us full court and, you know, get into the lane and make plays. So, I think she's starting to – you're starting to see our assist numbers rise a little bit where we're starting to feed it to the post more, and Casey's starting to get a little bit more comfort in finding people on the perimeter. So, once again, I feel like we're starting to kind of gel a little bit. We're starting to peak at the right time. But, you know, I think that's just – that's one of those things. She's going to continue to do that, and I think there's nowhere to go but up for her. So I think we're just kind of scratching the surface. And once we add a couple more things to her game, she's going to continue to, you know, just show people what she can do.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, that senior night against North Central, very large crowd. So what do you think that really says about this community when it comes to just forming around this girls' basketball team?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that we want. You know, we want our girls to be able to experience some of those crowds that like the boys have. You know, I'm sure if we play our cards right and we're able to make it to that semifinal round of the sectional against Mount Vernon, I think, you know, that's going to be another environment that's great. So the more opportunities we can give our girls to come out and, you know, be in situations like that where it's loud, that, you know, everybody's charged up, that's what we're looking for. We want the community to come out, have fun. And, you know, I think a lot of people know that, you know, when our girls come out and compete, like that's fun to watch. So, we love it. That's always going to be what we strive for. And we just look to continue to put our girls in situations like that.
With that being said, we will take a short pause. But when we return, Coach Rogers will stay right with us to discuss and look ahead to the next week here in the Arabian Sports Network. Coach's Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style. Detour Salon and Style provides women, men, and children haircuts, skincare, and spa services on Facebook and Twitter or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style, 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson, 765-400-5323 or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM located at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. If you're just joining us alongside Michael Hooker, I'm Dawson Farrell. We're joined here yet again by the head coach for the Arabians girls basketball team, Coach Rogers. But getting us started here, as we've been talking about a bit, you guys will be back on the road this Tuesday, traveling over to Mount Vernon for the first round of sectionals against Greenfield Central. So what's the game plan heading into that matchup?
You know, one, we're still working to get everybody healthy. You know, Witt's still not full strength. Tremaya is still a little banged up from that last week. So, you know, Greenfield is a dangerous team. They have improved immensely from last year. They gave us all that we could handle in that first game this year over at Greenfield. So we have got to be disciplined at knowing personnel and getting out to people and making sure that we're forcing tough shots and finishing the play with a rebound. So they line up, you know, 4 to 5 girls that can all shoot it. So we just got to do a good job of knowing where those girls are and forcing tough ones.
Now, this won't be the first time you guys squared up against Greenfield as you beat them earlier this year, but what effect will that have on tonight's game? How do you want your girls to handle that?
Yeah, you know, I think for both teams, you know, that game happened so early in the year that both teams have changed so much. You know, we went back and we watched probably about 25 clips from that first game, and, you know, I think a lot of our girls were like, man, I really did that. Just some of the silly things that they were doing defensively, or, you know, what they were seeing on the film. So I think we've grown immensely since that first game, and I think we're gonna look to, you know, hone in on the things that we're good at, and that's, you know, pressuring people, hopefully without fouling, and forcing turnovers and being able to get out in transition. So, you know, just got to do a better job, like we said, of knowing personnel and not letting, you know, easy looks from the three-point line.
All right, so sectionals were supposed to be held here at Pendleton Heights, but that had to be moved to Mount Vernon due to the water damage here at the school. So how does that really have an effect from going from home court advantage to not home court advantage?
Yeah, you know, I think when it comes down to sectional play, you know, does home court advantage matter? Absolutely. But when you really get down to the brass tacks, you know, if you want to be able to win a sectional championship, you got to be able to win it, you know, home or away. Tournament time comes down to tough teams. It comes down to being able to just find a way. It doesn't matter if it's a win by 1 point where you're making a defensive stop or if you're beating somebody by 15 to 20. You know, we don't change the way that we prepare just because it's not here anymore. So we're going to continue to do the things that we do. Is it disappointing for those seniors? Sure. You know, it stinks. I wish it was here as well. But it doesn't change anything that we're going to do. We're still going to prepare and get those girls ready to play just like we would any other game. So stinks not to have home court advantage, but we're still going to come out ready to compete no matter where we're playing.
Now, although Greenfield Central only averages 44 points a game, their defense is tough to beat and a major reason for their 14 wins this season. So how do you really plan to defeat that Lady Cougars defense?
Yeah, you know, if they typically, they will get into a 2-3 or a 3-2 zone. We just have to be disciplined and hopefully score before they can get set up in it, you know, maybe off turnovers or what have you, but we just have to do a good job knowing what our strengths are, and that's, you know, moving the ball and looking to find gaps to attack against their zone. And when the middle is shut down, we're looking to kick it to shooters. So hopefully, you know, Olivia Jones can and Ava Kate Phillips can have a big one shooting the ball. But you know, we're going to look to maybe take advantage down on the block as well, since, you know, Whitney and Berkeley kind of have a size advantage. But we just got to stay patient, know what we're working towards, and not look to rush everything.
Yeah, and a common factor between both teams on that Tuesday night matchup is you both average 16 turnovers a game. But with that being said, how big was that turnover battle this Tuesday?
Yeah, you know, I feel like we've been doing a better job as we've been coming on the stretch here with turnovers. I know it didn't seem like that against Noblesville. But, you know, we just have to do a good job of not letting them speed us up, making sure that we're coming to a jump stop, using our pass fakes, and moving the ball. So, you know, like I said, tournament play comes down to tough teams. You know, who's going to be able to sit down, who's going to be able to guard, force a tough one, and go up and get a rebound that maybe is out of your area. So I feel like our girls are ready to do that. They've been chomping at the bit probably since that Noblesville game to get on the court. So we're ready, and, you know, we're ready to go out there and see what we got tomorrow night.
Yeah, and last question here. If you win this Tuesday, you'll go on to play Mount Vernon in the second round of sectionals, and although you don't want to look too far ahead, yep, what would you say would be your game plan if you get past Greenfield Central heading on to Mount Vernon?
You know, a lot of same things. I think no matter who we're playing in this tournament, the game plan is going to be we've got to be great defensively. We have to force tough shots. No rhythm threes, nothing like that, and we got to finish the play with a rebound. So all three of these, you know, we want to look to be opportunistic when we can turn people over and get out in transition. But to win championships, you got to be able to get down on the defensive end and make stops. So that's what we're going to look to do no matter the opponent. And hopefully we can get it done and get to Friday and Saturday.
All right, but with that being said, that is all the time we have here this evening with Coach Rogers. But, Coach, once again, thanks for joining us. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
The WEEM Morning Show is on 91.7 WEEM every Tuesday through Friday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. Make sure you tune in to listen to Bella Myers
and Kennedy Quinn talk about everything that has to do with the first half of the day. 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM located at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Indiana. This message presented by the IHSAA and the Indiana Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. Coach Ballard could not make it, so instead we will be joined here now by assistant coach Woodruff. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so starting off here, looking back on this past week for Arabian basketball, of course, that Friday matchup, Greenfield Central traveled over to meet the Cougars. Didn't go the way you guys particularly wanted. Took a tough loss, but what would you say your team took out of that night?
Well, there's a lot of things that you can take out from a loss, right? A lot of things you'd like to learn more from wins, but Greenfield Central is just a very, very tough team, and we caught them on a tough night. They have two, three solid shooters, and when teams can shoot like that, it makes it very difficult to defend. And, so from that game, I think the biggest thing is we think about our kids and how they've played over the season, it really comes down to how hard they work, right? So it's never been about motivation or about how hard they work. You know, they showed up. They played as hard as they could. It just didn't go their way. And it was, would have been easy for them to be deflated coming out of that game because of that, the way it went. But, I think that you'll probably ask about Saturday night right after that. And clearly they took it to heart. They didn't get down on themselves. They came back and they responded. So, for us, it's always about constant improvement. And, even in a loss, our kids keep working and they keep working hard and they keep trying to get better and better and learn from everything. And, there are things you can learn about even playing in a tough game like that. It's how do you defend teams that have great shooters and they're going off? How do you control pace of a game? How do you make adjustments? How do you control against their press? Their press gave us a lot of problems. So there are things there that we can take from that we worked on and we continue to work on. But what I was most impressed with was just the mere fact that they took a really tough game and they didn't, go home and sulk and say, it's just over. Why do we even show up? They came back the next day and they got back after it. And that's what I love about these kids.
Yeah, and one thing that Coach Ballard was really specifying on, and I'm sure your entire coaching staff was as well, was really getting Josiah Gusson going down low, using his height to his advantage. But, of course, he is still very a dual threat on that offensive end, can hit some jumpers from deep. But what did you really see from him in this past weekend?
Well, Joe, it was like the tale of two Joes in a lot of ways, right? So on Saturday he was a little passive, gave up some shots that we probably need him to take. The first thing to understand about Josiah is that he's extremely talented, but he's also very much a team first guy. So he always wants to make the right basketball play. And so what we work with Joe on is like, well, understand, I get it that might be the right basketball play. But for us as a basketball team, we have to have you sometimes be a little more selfish, especially when it comes down low. And getting that ball and getting it in the basket. And so, again, he had every reason to hang his head after Friday night. Tough game for him, tough game for the team, right? But he came back the next night and really took that to heart. And I think you saw that response on Saturday, which I've seen Joe play since he was a freshman on varsity, and quite frankly, I think that was probably his best game that I have seen, most complete game of the things that he's capable of doing to impact a game on both ends of the floor.
All right, now switching things over to another one of your guys' players, Evan Mazingo, had in both games double digits, led the way in scoring, I believe, for both games, and has done that in multiple games this season. And if he wasn't the leading scorer, he was up there with the leading scorers. So what really have you seen in his scoring abilities in the past few games?
Well, the one thing about Evan, and you're right, he does lead us a lot of times in a number of things, especially when it comes to scoring. And for a young man that just came to Pendleton, this is his first year at Pendleton and his first year playing varsity basketball, he's just been something to watch. He's a very special type of shooter. He can definitely knock down shots. But what I've been really impressed with Evan is as the season has gone on, teams can defend shooters. Like if you're just a shooter, teams at this level of basketball in Indiana, they will get after you. They will defend that. They will take that away. What I've been impressed with is that Evan is becoming a scorer. And by being a scorer, what I mean by that is he's willing to, do that shot fake now and take that ball to the basket. I think you'll see from the other night he knocked down, probably three or four threes, but he also got to the basket. And that's just as important because if a team knows that you're willing to put it on the floor and take advantage of that, then they can't completely sell out to take away your shot. And so I've been really impressed with how he's matured and grown and really become more of an offensive threat as opposed to just a shooter.
Yeah, now looking a little more in depth at that Hamilton Southeastern game, Isaac hit a game-winning shot, not at the buzzer, but a game-winning shot. So how does him having that ability to be able to step up in those moments and take those clutch shots like he did against Anderson and forced overtime earlier in the season, how does having that ability from him really help the team in those moments?
Well, that's the thing. And if you think about during the game, Isaac wasn't in the game during that fourth quarter very much. We had the lineup that we had in was really defending well. They were playing well. Caden Sims was doing a fantastic job, at that time. And that was the five that was really moving. Like we got ourselves in that situation. But you get into a situation with 8 seconds left, and Isaac's just one of those young men that just has it, right? He's not afraid of the big moment. And that's what I love about Isaac. Some players, kind of freeze up in that moment. They don't necessarily want the ball. They don't want that. Isaac's not that kid. And so we substituted him in at that 8 second mark specifically for that reason. It's like, all right, what are we going to do? We knew they were going to take away Evan. They were not going to let him have a shot. He'd already knocked down three or four threes against him. Joe had been tough inside. I mean, the kid number two for Hamilton Southeast he's a monster. Like he is a big boy. And, so they were going to crowd down on Joe. They were not going to let Joe beat them. And so, all right, what's our next option? Well, let's think about using them, knowing what they're going to take away, and then have a kid like Isaac that you hadn't played much in that quarter at all, bring him off the bench and say, oh yeah, we're going to hand you the ball coming around. You've got, if they drop off Evan, you can dump it. If they drop off Joe, you can drop it. Otherwise, just get to the rack. And he did that, and he did it perfectly, and he got pretty much a wide open layup. Like when he turned the corner and stepped on the gas, like he got down there in a hurry. And that's just what a kid like Isaac does. He's got that gene in him. He wants it in that moment, and you love having kids like that on your team.
All right, but with that being said, we will take a short pause, but when we come back, we will stay here with Coach Woodrow to look ahead on the next couple weeks for Arabian basketball here on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
High school sports teach so much more than just the fundamentals of the game. They also teach the fundamentals of life, like the power of belief. I'm Robert Falkins.
And I'm Carrie Rosati. We're both assistant commissioners of the IHSAA. In the second classroom of high school sports, student-athletes understand hard work pays off, and they learn to be proud of their effort, no matter the outcome.
Successful student-athletes support their teammates and learn to always do the right thing.
And most importantly, they learn to always believe in themselves.
When high school sports keep education in front of athletics, These fundamental beliefs outweigh the idea of winning at all costs.
That's why high school sports are a transformative and invaluable part of every student-athlete's education.
Buy a ticket to your high school's athletic events and show student-athletes that you'll always believe in them, too.
This is the power of belief. This is the power of high school sports. This is your IHSAA.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Indiana needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
ASA Coaches Show on 917 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show 917 WEEM. We are joined here yet again by Coach Richard to look ahead for Arabian basketball on this upcoming week. But Coach, obviously you've got Yorktown this Thursday that'll be here at Pendleton Heights. Yorktown having a very solid year, 12-5, 3-2 in the conference, in that top half when it comes to the conference ranking. So what would you say you coaches are discussing about when it comes to the game plan against those Tigers?
Well, it seems like our schedule is just there's never the easy one, right? Yeah. You always look down there and you're always like, well, maybe. But yeah, Yorktown's having a great year. I think they're 12-5, and you know, they've got some really nice players. They got two or three shooters. Obviously, they're led by Dunn, number 20. He's a very good shooter, very good scorer. You know, they have some. They just have a lot of nice pieces. You know, like I say, they defend hard. It'll be a challenge for us, but you know, I think we're excited. I think that Saturday's game should have given us a little bit of confidence to say, hey, you know, all this work we're putting in, the things we're doing, you know, we kind of really put a lot of things together in that game, from pace of play to how we defended to how we played offensively, really looking for the, you know, you're not going to make every shot, but are we getting the types of shots we want to get and the pace we want to get them? And so I think a lot of good things from the Hamilton Southeastern game hopefully carry over, because that's the type of effort we're going to need against Yorktown to be successful. You know, it's going to have to be on both ends, and we have to win that pace of play. We have to be able to control that defensively and really, you know, keep the game tight, give ourselves opportunities. You know, that's the only thing we can ask is, you know, in the last few minutes of a game, are you there or are you not? Do you have a chance to win? And if we do those things like we did Saturday night and we bring those over to Thursday night, then I think at the end of the game we're going to have a chance to be successful. And that's all you can ask for, is have a chance to win.
Yeah, and you mentioned there A.J. Dunn for the Yorktown Tigers. A very good player, leading them in both points per game and rebounds per game. But you guys have seen your fair share of star players this year. Obviously, Amir Carson twice. You got Miles Colvin with Heritage Christian. So how do you think you guys have done when guarding just a star player? How do you think you're going to go into that guarding Dunn?
Well, you know, that's the thing. Whenever teams have really good players or a player of that caliber, right, you know, Greenfield Central had – two or three players of high caliber shooters. When you have that, you have to just, it has to be attention to detail. You have to accept, one, that they're going to make a shot. There's just no way. You can play the greatest defense in the world. A great player is going to make a shot. You have to be able to accept that. You can't hang your head like, oh, I did something wrong because I closed out and I got up in him and he still knocked it down. Well, that's all right. That's when you just got to take the ball out and get down the court and, you know, work hard again the next time, because what you're trying to do is to minimize that impact of that player. And that's what we're going to try to do, is, you know, you want to minimize how impactful that, you know, they can't come in and let a guy go off for 30 some points and, you know, just totally control and wreck your plan, right? What we want to do is be able to control that, understand he's going to make a play. He's a good player. He's just going to. They've got other good players. They're going to make plays. They're going to score a basket. We just have to be able to accept that, keep working hard, stay focused on what we're trying to get done. And then, like I say, on offense, we've got to be very, very patient and control that tempo and get the shots we want to get. That's the best way to neutralize a great player, is control the amount of time they actually get to have the ball in their hand. And so the better we can do on controlling the pace and really being focused on getting the shots we want it really helps our defense, because then we can kind of really focus in and, you know, control that for that 20, 30 seconds. Most teams don't want to play offense or defense for that long, right? Most teams, you know, if you, you know, 15, 20 seconds, that's about as long as they want to play defense. You know, so if you can offensively keep working the ball and really work to get your shots, most of the time they'll have the effect of having them come down and hopefully rush what they're trying to do on offense. But with a good player like that, that's what you want to do. You want to minimize the amount of opportunities he gets at the basket. And you definitely want to stop him in transition, because he can get up and down. He's an athlete.
All right, and you guys have seen your fair share of star players, but you've also seen your fair share of really good teams. New Pal's one of them. Mount Vernon's one of them. You know, the Hoosier Heritage Conference has a lot of phenomenal teams. And so really, Yorktown is another one of those phenomenal teams. So how do you really feel like you're going to stop them after you held New Pal earlier in the year to one of their lowest scoring games so far?
Well, that's just it. It really does come back. I mean, if you think about our team, you know, all right, yeah, we've won five games. That's not really the result we want. That nobody wants that, right? You know, it's, we always have to have that conversation with our players about the amount of effort you put in and the amount of work you put in. It doesn't always equate to what you deserve, right? You know, we get stuck in this, well, we work so hard, we deserve to win all the time. Well, it doesn't really work like that. You know, you've got to do everything, you know, and you have to put it all together night after night and day after day and practice and come to the games. And the conference this year has just been like, it has really been loaded. Like, every team in there has improved. I mean, I'm thinking about Newcastle and just all of them, right? They're just, everybody's gotten better. We've gotten better. But, you know, it's a battle. And, you know, to play a New Pal, I mean, those games are very, because they're conference games, they're very, you know, we see these guys all the time. We know we're playing them every year. You guys, you play them in football. You play them in all the other sports, right? Like, there is a built-in rivalry with a lot of these games, and I think that's where it really comes in. You know, our kids would love to have another crack at Anderson. Like, we think we like it. We appreciate it. We look for those challenges. And that's the same thing with Yorktown. I mean, they played New Pal tough. New Pal's a good team. I mean, we've got some really good teams. But, you know, when you play a good team, you gotta lace them up and come out and play hard. And I think that's what you're going to see us play against Yorktown. I think we have an opportunity, but we only have an opportunity if we come out and do the things we need to do to be successful.
All right, but with that being said, that is all the time we have. Once again, Coach, really appreciate you coming down.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
But with that being said, we'll take a short break. But when we return, Michael and I will preview the next week for Arabian basketball here on the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Winning games and championships is fun, but the true purpose of high school sports is for student-athletes to grow as people, not just athletes. I'm Paul Knighty, Commissioner of the IHSAA.
And I'm Dr. Katie Jenner, Indiana Secretary of Education. Hoosier teachers and coaches care just as much about how student-athletes are performing in the classroom as they do about how they're performing on the playing field.
They understand high school sports are a tool to educate and shape the whole student-athlete, helping teens become the best versions of themselves.
Our teachers and coaches don't just teach academic and athletic skills. They also encourage communication and collaboration, instill confidence, promote a strong work ethic, and so much more. To all our Hoosier educators and coaches, we are grateful for everything you do.
Fans, buy a ticket to your high school's athletic events and thank our educators for making education-based athletics possible.
This is gratitude. This is appreciation. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the Arabian Caribbean Sports Network Coaches Show 91.7 WEEM Report, our final segment of the evening. Michael and I will break down the following, or the next week, I should say, for Arabian basketball, both boy and girl side of things. But starting off with the girl sides of things, of course, talking to Coach Rogers not about 10-20 minutes ago. They'll be facing up against Greenfield Central. That'll be Tuesday, tomorrow, January 31st. Tip-off 6 p.m. A bit earlier, as the other sectional match will be following that one. No JV game, so it's only varsity. And again, 6 p.m. tip with the Arabian Sports Network pregame show starting 5:45. But Greenfield Central, of course, very good team. I mean, this is a conference matchup, and conference matchups in the Hoosier Heritage, they can always go either way, never guaranteed. But obviously, we talked about this is not the first time these two teams will be facing it out in the hardwood. Of course, Pendleton Heights won earlier in the year, took them down, and Pendleton Heights going to be hoping to redo that and go 2-0 against the Cougars. Cougars obviously trying to tie up the series for the year 1-1, but obviously Pendleton Heights led by Casey Warfel, averaging 20-plus points a game, coming off of a 12-point performance before that, a 30-point performance in that senior night. Whitney Warfel, her sister, very good down low, has a very large arsenal of post moves, can spin out of defenders, create that space, knock down jumpers. Berkeley Shelton, another senior, more physical, will get down low, grab the offensive board when it's needed, kick it back out or put it back up. She can do it all as well. So, Michael, what do you think Pendleton Heights will be focusing on? Who do you think they're going to be relying on heading into that matchup against Greenfield Central?
Well, not going in there too confident. I mean, that's one of the big things. I mean, Greenfield Central made it close with them earlier on in the season, and I think Pendleton was hoping to go in there and just really kind of have a field day with them the first time. But they got, you know, one of the things Coach Cloud, the wrestling coach, has told all of us multiple times in practice, and even Coach Richmond said it, everyone has a plan until they get hit in the face, right? And, you know, that's how every sport has it. And that was the plan for them, to go into Greenfield Central earlier in the season and just cakewalk them. Greenfield, they hit them in the face, and they didn't let them do that. And really, that was a big shock to them. So I think they're going to look at this game. They're going to look back at the Greenfield Central game that they played earlier on this season, and they're going to be like, we beat them earlier, but we can't go in there with the mentality, we beat them earlier in the season, and we nearly went undefeated in the HHC. We got to go in there expecting anything, because it's playoff basketball. Everyone's hungry for that sectional win to move on in the sectional tournament and get a sectional championship to their school's history. So really, they got to go in there with heads held a little high, but not overly confident.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, Greenfield Central, again, very talented team. And just taking a look at some of the similarities between both Pendleton Heights and Greenfield Central, both of their girls' squads, both of them have the same overall record, 14-9. Pendleton Heights has the better conference record, but not by much. Pendleton Heights has, a 6-1 in the Heritage or Hoosier Heritage Conference. Greenfield Central 5-2, and then they average the same amount of turnovers. They average in the same amount of points allowed, not the exact amount, but in that ballpark of those high 50s or high 40s, low 50s. Sorry about that, but very similar teams. Greenfield Central likes to attack along the perimeter. Obviously, in that matchup, in that last game, Pendleton Heights really had them locked in there, but Greenfield Central came back pretty fast with some of their outside shooting, and I think Pendleton Heights is going to have to watch that, as Coach Rogers was mentioning and poking on earlier. But obviously Pendleton Heights, very good squad, and Greenfield Central, very good squad as well. But say Pendleton Heights wins that matchup, they will go on to face Mount Vernon. That's already on a lock, as Mount Vernon has the bye. And Mount Vernon, of course, a very good team. They beat them. They have their only conference loss, that being Mount Vernon. Rivals, both Pendleton Heights, Mount Vernon, been rivals. It's, in my opinion, it's the hottest it's ever been. It seems like Mount Vernon has been eliminating Pendleton in multiple playoffs in recent history, multiple sports, I should say. So that'll be a good matchup. But again, you got to focus on your matchup at hand. But Mount Vernon, you can't help but look ahead and say, I really want to go against them again. I'm sure that's what the girls are thinking.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Mount Vernon, they're one of the better teams in the Hoosier Heritage Conference in all sports. Baseball, softball, football, definitely in football. I mean, they had sort of a down year this year, but they played tougher competition. But, you know, they're a tough team every year. Pendleton plays them every year. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. And I think that if the girls make it out of tomorrow with a win and can play on Saturday against Mount Vernon, they'll go in there hungry, and Mount Vernon will go into that game with their heads a little overconfident, in my opinion. I feel like that's what could happen, and Pendleton Heights will come in there, and they'll just be like, we're winning this game, and they could just do whatever they want because Mount Vernon won't know what to do at that point.
Yeah, and switching things now over to the boys' side of things. Of course, we were talking there with Coach. They'll be going up against Yorktown this Thursday, February the 2nd, tip-off 7:30, JV before that. So varsity, of course, following JV, tip-off 7:30, Arabian Sports Network coaches show starting 7:15. But Yorktown, very talented squad, 12-5, having one of the best years they've had in recent history, led by A.J. Dunn, both in rebounds with 4.2 a game and scoring with 18.1 a game. I think another player you have to mention there is Grimm, averaging 3.1 assists, 2.5 steals. Both those players very good. But as we were talking about, Pendleton Heights is, for the boys' side of things, they've faced their fair share of top-tier competition. Anderson twice, Heritage Christian. I mean, Hamilton Southeastern having a down year, but they still are very good, and they face some of the hardest competition in the state. So I think Pendleton Heights, although the record says they're not that good, I think what you're actually seeing on the court is a complete different story, because once Pendleton Heights starts heating up and once they're looking the best they can be, they look arguably unbeatable. I mean, just that combo, the classic combo of someone tall that can get it done down low, and then pair him with a shooter like Evan Mazingo, where if you double down low, you could kick it out to Evan Mazingo, nail a three. If you double Evan Mazingo on the shot, Josiah Gusson can beat you up down low. So it's that old age-old combo in basketball that could really beat you up. And I think Pendleton really has to circle around that. But again, Josiah Gusson coming off of one of the best games, maybe not on the stat side of things, but really just his overall performance, especially on the defensive side of the ball last Sunday against Hamilton Southeastern. So I think this will be a great matchup. I mean, you're looking at the record, you're looking at the predictions, it all says Yorktown, but I think Pendleton Heights could come out here, shock them on their home floor.
Yeah, and Yorktown's been having a great year on all sorts of levels. I mean, football this year, they had a really great year. Their one loss earlier in the year came to New Pound, and they lost to Pendleton Heights later on in the season, and that was a great win by Pendleton Heights over Yorktown. And Yorktown was supposed to win that game. Don't get me wrong. Everyone was saying Yorktown was supposed to win that game, and Pendleton Heights was not having the greatest year and the greatest record at that point. And that's how it is right now with the boys' basketball. And like you mentioned, you know, you watch them on the court, you see a completely different team, but you look at their record and you're like, that is, you know, you kind of underestimate them because of that record, because it's not so good. So really, I think Pendleton Heights has a great shot at upsetting Yorktown here and really boosting their conference record and boosting their overall record and getting that sixth win and hopefully pushing and getting a lot more wins in these next games they have coming up before they go into sectionals.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, they're trying to boost that conference record. Not only that, they're still searching for their first conference win. I mean, as we were talking about earlier, their Hoosier Heritage is as stacked as it has ever been. You got New Pal still undefeated, one of a very small handful still undefeated in the state. I'd say New Pal, Ben Davis are really the two relevant, more bigger schools that are still undefeated. There are a couple down in the 2A's, the 1A's, but New Pal, very good squad. But Greenfield Central, I mean, if they play the way they did against Pendleton Heights, they could beat any team unquestioned. I mean, they can shoot so well. You got Mullins knocking down 28 points, 7-for-8 from 3-point in the first half. You got Moles, a very athletic, not too tall, but he can rise up there. He was throwing down some dunks in that matchup against Pendleton. And then, of course, you got some other opponents. Newcastle in the Spartan Dome, a very, very solid team. Great history over there. Yorktown, another great one. Shelbyville having an up year. Pendleton Heights sitting on the bottom, of course, still searching for the first win in the conference. I was just mentioning there, but this one could very much be the first. But with that being said, that will do it for our show here this evening. Thanks to all who listen in. Once again, I'm Dawson Peril alongside Michael Hooker. Hope you all have a nice night. You're listening to 91.7 WEEM.